Hey, want to say good morning to Mark Eckel, president of the Comenius Institute in Indianapolis, talking with us this morning. Always love to talk to you, Mark, because truly, you make me think. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Kelly. It's great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, we're talking this morning about the need for churches and Christians to be seen as a public good. Elaborate on that. What do you mean?
Sure. So when I think about the public good, I'm always drawn back to God's teaching in Scripture about common grace. That is that God benefits and is good to his world and everybody in it by weather, language, discovery, agriculture, you name it. I mean, we live in the state of Indiana and we see the beneficence of God through common grace all the time, especially in the rain that we got last night, which was really needed for all the farmers out there. But our emphasis is always going to be in this regard. That is that we shape culture by our presence. Let me say that again. Christians and churches shape culture by our presence. That means we have to be there. We have to participate in culture. Here's just an example of that. I was talking with a pastor some time back, and we were in this conversation about his community, and I said, so how is your relationship with the community? He said, great. I said, well, how did that start? And he said, well, you know, I just went out to some folks in the community, to local leaders, and he said, how can we help? And before long, he said, folks were calling us, and we were doing all kinds of different things. And he said, and now the mayor calls me into meetings so that he can get my perspective as a Christian, as a church member in the community. That's what we mean by participating in the public good.
You know, I have wondered, honestly, for years, if I could just back the train way up, you know, in the day when televangelists really had their heyday, and we saw the very public fall of some of them, and we saw Christianity, we saw the church began to fall from grace, if you will, as far as the general public is concerned and how they view Christians and the church. In fact, our pastor was talking a couple of weeks ago, Mark, about how back in the 50s, he was taking a look at some research that the number one most trusted profession was clergy, but now that's not even in the top five anymore. But we still have the ability to shape culture and overcome that.
Yes, we just simply have to be there, quite frankly. Just here's an example of this. This last weekend, my producer, H.B. Bell, and I were at an event called Mental Health Awareness, which was down at Garfield Park in Indianapolis. And the whole point of this was to emphasize to folks, hey, this is an important issue. We need to be talking about this. We need to be thinking about this. On our radio show, which we have every Wednesday from 10 until noon, we have all kinds of guests from around Indianapolis, Christians who are doing good. And so the focus of the mental health awareness, for instance, was who's doing good in Indianapolis, who's a Christian, who's speaking out, who's showing up. Those are the really real big issues. So when we go back into the 50s, we talk about folks who really set the stage for us in terms of a public awareness and public engagement, like theologians like Reinhold Niebuhr. We need those kinds of folks again. We don't need the folks who are going to stand on a soapbox necessarily and scream and shout at us. What we need are folks to do what Titus 2 says. We need to show up, we need to do good, and Titus 2 actually ends by saying, we do all of these good things so that we might make the gospel attractive. We make the gospel attractive by demonstrating to people the goodness of the gospel and the God that we serve.
Well, Mark, conceptually, it's very clear what you're saying, but for the average person in the pews like me who might look around the community where we live and go, okay, I get the need to be out there to impact culture by my presence and to do good, but maybe give, take Indianapolis for an example. Talk to the average person in the pews there and say, here are some things where you might get involved today, some ways you can shape culture, some things you can do to make a difference that are very practical things.
Sure. So I would start with just give you a list of four or five ideas. If you have an anti-bullying campaign, for instance, in your community, Christians ought to be on the forefront of that. If we are concerned about creation care, whatever that means, whether it be in the farming community, we live in an agricultural state, we should be on the front lines of that, participating and speaking to issues that are important. Anybody who's in education, who's a Christian, is a light to that particular community, continue to be so. Anybody who's concerned about anti-racism or ethnic issues, we need to be on the front lines of that, because we believe that all people are made in God's image. If you're concerned about justice issues, then we need to show up at the courthouse. We need to promote and emphasize those people who are doing good in law enforcement and those who are lawyers, and emphasize these kinds of folks in our pews. I think sometimes, to make the point to our churches, we have a tendency to focus on our missionaries, which is wonderful and good, and we're not saying anything negative here. All I'm saying is that everybody's a missionary. So if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a farmer, you're a dentist, you pump gas at the local station, you know what? Everybody participates in the culture. Everybody's a light as a Christian. Whatever you're doing is being a Christian presence in that community, and you're so important to that community.
And if we're sitting around waiting for the invitation to come to help change culture or impact our communities, that invitation may not be coming. We just got to show up and as they say, show out, as my son would say, and do what the church is supposed to be doing, because then the invitations come. People see the difference that you're making.
That's exactly right. I'm doing a film engagement, for instance, down in St. Louis. I've been invited down there, and I'm doing an engagement on psychology and film. What are filmmakers saying about the psychological makeup of the human person? So for Indianapolis, for instance, we have the Heartland Film Festival in October. We ought to be participating in this, looking at the kinds of good films that are out there for folks to see, and showing up at these events and taking our neighbors with us and saying, hey, let's go out to coffee afterwards and have a discussion about these important issues. You're absolutely right. Your son is right. Do not wait for the invitation. Go out and do good.